It's the District 14-6A opener for the Bryan Vikings as they are at Tom Ball Memorial tonight. We're visiting with Coach Ross Rogers. It's your district opener, Coach, but they've already got a game under their belt.
Yeah, you know, us drawing the bye the first week, everybody in the district had a game, and so we went, of course, got to scout them, and Memorial lost a tough one to Cy Woods. Cy Woods looked much improved on defense and probably had the game in – should have had the game earlier, but then did kick the field goal. They got down there two or three times and didn't get scores or missed field goals. And so, they've got a head start on us, and we've had a week to kind of mend ourselves and try to get better and head into district.
Well, tell me about that week off. What do you guys do when you have a situation like that? And particularly, it's this very early in the season when you only have two games that you've gotten in, and you're coming off the loss to A&M Consolidated. What was the open date like?
You know, we always take it as an academic week because we planned it. It was into about the fourth week of the 6 weeks, and it was time for our guys to make sure that we're taking care of our academics, our grades. So that's always a concern. We're a morning practice team, so we try to knock out our practice in the morning, come back in the afternoon. The kids aren't in tutorials, and get our weights and get our video and things like that. So the main thing is to look at any of the schemes we're using, any of the offensive things that aren't going good. Can we do we need to improve it, or do we need to go with something else? So we intentionally had this design for that purpose, to have 2 weeks to get ready for our district opener, decide if we need to improve in the areas, which we do, but are those things that we can do, or do we need to switch ideas? And hopefully get everybody healthy, because we did have some injuries we carried away. Nick McDaniels and Caleb Merrill both limped off the field, didn't play much in the second half. And Horace Patrick hurt an ankle, and he's still not back. And we had a couple other guys that were – Paul Hill, who was a little limp. But we'll have two of the three back, and so we're three of the four, I guess, that were missing after the end of the ball game last night. So this is a good time for us to reevaluate and get ready to attack the district.
Yeah, one of the things you guys have always done when you've lost games like that, you guys don't sit around saying, gosh, I hope things get better. You figure out ways to make things better. You'll either change personnel, you'll change schemes. You've done that as long as you've been here, I know.
Yeah, you know, you'd like to have it figured out before, so we wouldn't have to do that. But, you know, when you play a team as talented as Consolidated, they show you your weaknesses and things that you need to be better at. Going into a district schedule, it's going to be pretty tough as well.
You needed, I thought, a spark in that game, and I thought you had one on the kickoff return by Jalen Davis, and it was called back by a holding penalty. Let me just say this. The people that want to eliminate the kickoff return, it's the most exciting – it can be the most exciting play in all of sports. And I thought that was – until we saw that penalty, we thought that was one of those plays.
Yeah, you know, we like to see Jalen get that ball in that. And I think our guys up front do a good job blocking. We feel like we got a chance to return them, whether it be Christian or Jalen on the kickoff return, if they're going to kick it deep. So, yeah, we like seeing it. And, you know, they've improved so much of the problem area with the blocking below the waist and the peelback blocks. So they're getting right at all these things. And the hold call was certainly it was hard for me to see when there's so much else goes on in the field. But that's what the officials call.
Hard for me to see, so it was somewhere behind where they did it, because we're watching him run in the end zone. Yeah. Then before we saw the play, the weather was a little bit better this week. It's cooled off just a little bit. It's been so blazing hot that has to help a little bit, I would think.
Certainly is. You know, we practice in the morning. This is the first time we've gone out with it 73 or 4 degrees when we first start, and so it's improved. You know, your just feeling is more like football. I mean, the heat's part of Texas football and always has been. But it sure is nice when we do get a little cooler weather.
It does seem like when that first cool spell, and it's not cool, but it's not as hot as it's been, you just kind of get excited, get a little extra, you know, pumped up a little bit more in practice.
Yeah, I think so. It's just, you know, when you do the practice the way we do, we try to stay at a high tempo. So, but to finally get the cool weather, I'm ready for it, and I know it's not going to be in the 50s or 60s quite yet, but at least when we get in the 70s and 80s, it feels better.
Ross Rogers, head coach of the Bryan Vikings. Coach, Tomball Memorial's had a lot of guys coming back on defense this year, but I look at their offensive numbers, and I don't see anybody that's tailed off on that side. They got some new guys in there, but they're playing well.
No, they scare you. They've got a tough running back. Their offensive line is good size, and they pounded in there. Probably don't run the jet sweeps as much as they did last year with the two guys they had, those two seniors that graduated. So they still do that, and they still work a lot of their schemes off that jet. But it's more of a pounding and then trying to take their throws. Of course, they've got the receivers out there that scare you because of their size.
Carby Barnes is that running back, and he's in the district three games into the regular season. He's got about 200 yards more than anybody else in the district. He's rushed for 528 yards, scored four touchdowns, and he's averaging over 8 yards a carry. Tell me about what kind of back he was like, because their running back last year was kind of the difference, I thought, late in the game. Last year.
They're similar. I think he's more of a grinder inside. But, it's not that he doesn't have speed. But he's going to pick him. He's going to power you in there and just pound you, which opens everything else up if they're able to do that. And for a lot of times last year, we were able to keep that in check within the tackles. And so they had to throw. And it was a little damp night. And we were able to hold their passing game down. So, I guess it was 7, 8 minutes, 6 minutes their quarterback fumbled last year, and we had the ball on their 40 with 4 or 5 minutes left to play. We didn't get it done, and they turned around and beat us 20-14. So, it was an exciting game, and we certainly were playing pretty good defense at the time. And, that was the game that our quarterback was out last year, so we didn't have a lot of passing game, but ran a lot of different schemes and were able to get enough offense going to give a chance to win.
You had Moreno at quarterback, I think, in that game last year. Mm-hmm. Kilton Marwell is their quarterback this year. He's a new guy that stepped in there. Talk a little bit about what he's able to do. I hear he's a better runner, maybe.
Exactly. I think that you're right. He where the kid last year would look to float around and still dump the ball, he was mobile, but he wasn't a runner. This kid's mobile and a runner, and I think you'll see a lot more of that Friday night.
And you talked about the size of their receivers on the outside. And Logan Kyle's a guy that we saw last year, and we know he's a pretty tall receiver. But one of the guys you were talking about is a guy that's new to the lineup, at least to us. That's Joseph Manjack, and he's a junior receiver. He's a big kid, and he does a little bit of everything. He's their punter. He's their return guy. He's sort of the jack of all trades.
Yeah, Manjack is the jack of trades. Huh? Yeah. That works. Yeah,
he's let me write that down. Man, jack of all trades. We've got that.
So, yeah, he's a good athlete. I don't know his top end speed. I know that the other young man can take it and take it to the house in a hurry. So that does give him weapons on both sides. And so that's always on top of your flawless defensive back. Make them earn it and don't give them the big play. But they've got a good looking offense. It's just a little bit different this year, where they run the fly sweep so much last year that they show it, but and they'll give it, but they really like to power you at you and get you tied up inside so they can get the ball deep to these people.
All right, they do have obviously a pretty good passing game too, but if you're going to have to focus on trying to shut something down, is it run first? Is that the approach, or do you just have to go after a little bit of everything?
I think you want to be good in both areas, but if you cannot stop the run, then it's going to create a lot of other things. So, yeah, we got to stop the run, and hopefully we're good enough in the passing game.
All right, we talked about the guys. I think they had 9 guys coming back on the defensive side, so they've got some experience over on that side of the ball. Numbers-wise, it still looks like their focus is more on their offense, but having experience out there with 9 guys coming back must be something that they're getting some positives from.
Oh, yeah. It's helter-skelter defense. It's not what old coaches think sound. They do a lot of slanting and double stunt. A lot of times you cross somebody's face for one gap, they'll go over 2 gaps. And a lot of times you look up and they've got 2 helmets in the same gap. But it seems to work out for them. And it's a hard one to figure out. They play a lot of mostly man, and sometimes it'll be man-free and let the free safety just kind of roam. So, when you go into a ball game and they're going to put 7, 8 guys within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage, you got to be able to throw the ball. Last year put us in a predicament. We didn't have the passing game. And certainly we have not shown to have the passing game this year, but we're continuing to work on. We think for us to be the team we want to be, we've got to have balance and we've got to be able to throw and run. And so, you know, who knows? This game, we could throw the ball 30 times or, you know, make whatever we got to get done. But I do think we've got to have some success in the passing game to help us with our running game.
Is this the kind of thing where they are doing some different things defensively like that, where you have to have some checkoffs at the line, some change some plays or you know, maybe go at it a little different just based on what you see when you come up there?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody hears about the RPOs right now, run pass options. So certainly some of these things are built into your scheme. So the quarterbacks, because of pre-snap or after snap, is allowed to make a decision where he's giving the ball or throwing it. So those all factor in.
It's their homecoming, and homecomings are always interesting games. I mean, you sometimes halftimes run a little long in homecomings. Any distractions that come from that for you going into somebody else's homecoming? I know when you've got it at home, you got all kinds of stuff going on during the week.
No, not really. I think all that comes on the home team. I think visiting teams, if just go in and play. I mean, it's really not going to factor into the inside the white lines at all. The home team has to deal with that.
And obviously there's been some weather down in the Houston area this week, and so could those be things that you know, are a distraction from them? I'm trying to find I'm trying to find negatives for them because they do have homecoming and they do have, you know, some questions about when school was going to be open and things like that.
Yeah, I don't know. We you know, I haven't coached in that stadium since Tomball Cougars, and that's a long time ago. And
used to be Cougar Stadium, isn't that what they used to call it?
Sure was, and had some good memories about that place. And so I'd like to carry those same memories going in this game and have some success down there.
All right, when's the last time you were there? Do you have any idea? I mean, you have any idea what year it was and how you did?
It had to be 98 or 99 against Tomball because we were in their district most of the time I was in Consolidated. So I visited one time to scout a game, and it was, and they made some changes. And we all know that they're building a new stadium. It's going to be, the new Tomball Memorial is going to be between Tomball and Tomball Memorial High Schools. And so pretty soon that will just be a practice or a JV stadium. But it's a big, good-sized stadium. And like I said, it has some good memories about the place. Hopefully we can have some more after Friday night.
Well, since they're going to build a brand-new place, that probably means we'll be in a different district next year. But for the time being, this is the district opener for the Bryan Vikings, and it's a big one. They'll take on Tomball Memorial tonight from Tomball ISD Stadium. We'll be back to talk more about that game in just a moment.